This will be our last message in the series of the names of God. We've studied quite a few. We began the study with the thought that this is not just to gain knowledge, but a deeper relationship with the Lord, to understand who God is, and then how does that affect our relationship. And I pray that you understood maybe a little bit more about him, love him a little bit deeper, and praise the Lord for his word that tells us about him. Exodus chapter 33. In verse 12, it says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See thou..." Can you turn me down? I feel like there's a little. Is it? No? Crank it up. He said turn it up. All right, very good. Exodus 33 and verse 12. "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. Thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight..." This is Moses talking to the Lord. "If I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And God answers, and he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." The thought here tonight is Jehovah Shammah. That is, God is with thee. Verse 15, he said, "And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." Hey, if you're not with me, I don't want to go. "From wherein shall it be known here that I and my people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not? And that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." The Lord said unto Moses, "I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for tonight. God, thank you for this comforting thought that you are with us. No matter where we go, no matter what we go through, you are with us. God, I pray that we'd not lose sight of that. God, I pray that that would change what we do on a regular basis. Lord, be with us as we study your scriptures here tonight. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Jehovah Shammah, the presence of the Lord. God is unique in his character, meaning that he has the unique and only ability to be omnipresent. What does that mean? He has the ability to be everywhere at once. So how is that possible? That's God. Oftentimes we think about God as just like us, but just a little bit better. Right? I mean, he's like the perfect level of us. But he's not. No, he has an ability. He has a character trait about him. Go with me to Psalm 139. And this is an important thought, because how can God be with me? How can his presence be here and across town at the same time? Hey, when I'm in the valley and she's on the mountaintop, how can he be with both of us? When I'm in Western New York and they're in Romania, how is God there? Psalm 139 and verse 7. It says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence?" He asked the question. He says, where can I go to get away from God? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Day, night, heaven, the depths of hell, God somehow was there. From the highest spot to the lowest, God is there. I like in verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Say, what does that mean? It just blows my mind. Sam, you're taking, what is that course you're taking? But there's more. Trigonometry, analytical geometry, and pre-calculus, all sandwiched together. Sometimes he says, Dad, it just makes my head hurt. You start thinking about God and his just one character trait of omnipresent, being everywhere. My mind cannot attain it. I can describe it, but when I try and figure it all out, it's just going to take some faith. I'm just going to have to believe it. And it is a truth that the presence of the Lord is with us. We see it with the nation of Israel. They enjoyed directly the guidance and fellowship with a living God, like with the living God like no other nation. Let's follow this. Exodus chapter 13. And what we'll do, like we have done with all of our lessons, we'll look at the Old Testament illustration and then jump over to the New Testament practice of it. I had water. Oh. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 21. Lord did something for the nation of Israel. This is what the nation of Israel needed. Because sometimes just verbal communication isn't enough. We have a dog, Trapper, someone gave us a nice couch to us. Trapper thinks it could be his own bed, so we got to keep him off of there. When we're home, we have no problem with that. The minute we leave, that joker jumps right up on our couch. Do you have a dog? Does she jump on places that she shouldn't be? No matter how many times I tell him, no matter what I do. So whenever we leave, we have a giant crate in the basement. It's huge. We have blankets in there. In my mind, he likes it. I gave the simple instruction to one of the children. I said, we're walking out the door. Take the dog, put him downstairs, and lock him in the cage. Say, that's mean and cruel. Whatever. When you get a dog, or you run your dog how you run your dog. I'm sitting there. I watch the door open and then just close. So I went to the child and I said, what did I just say to you? Put the dog in the basement and lock him up. Did you do that? No. Why not? I don't know. That was the conversation approximately 2 hours ago. Very similar to the nation of Israel. Do this, and I will bless you. Okay, go here. And sometimes the verbal instruction, even of the man of God, Moses, directly to the nation of Israel, wasn't enough. So God says, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to reveal my glory to show my presence to you. And I want you to visually see it. Not just audibly hear it, but I want you to see it. In verse 21 of Exodus chapter 13, and the Lord went before them by day, in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way. So during the day, somehow there was a cloud that went from the heavens down, and when it moved, the nation of Israel moved. That is how they knew God was with them, God was near them, and where they ought to go. You say, oh, that would be wonderful. That's what I need. I need a pillar. You say, what happens at night? And by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. There was never an excuse. They couldn't say, well, we didn't know. At night, the cloud lit up as fire. Amazing visual. Amazing. It was no longer just an audible commitment between God and man. He actually made his presence in their camp. They saw it. They felt it. They could hear it. They could see it. How could they hear it? You put a blazing fire, a pillar, you're going to hear that. Exodus 33, we just read there. Exodus 33. His presence was visually seen. God says in Exodus 33, 14, and he said, my presence shall go with thee. I will give thee rest. Look at Exodus chapter 40 and verse 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation. Exodus 40, 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. This is before the temple. Solomon builds the temple. Moses is responsible for, the sons of Aaron, the high priest, is in charge of the tabernacle. And this was the dwelling place of God and the nation of Israel. But they wandered. So they would set this thing up and break it down. And we've studied the tabernacle, the temple, all of those things. But that's what's going on here. And a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. See, that sounds wonderful. It certainly does. When the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. And if the cloud were not taken up, then their journeys not until the day that it was taken up. Pretty much, when it moved, we moved. But the glory of the Lord filled their tabernacle. If you study through Ezekiel, maybe you want to do this on your own time. It's kind of an interesting study. In Ezekiel 10 and 11, there's a movement of the glory of God. It starts over the cherubim. It goes from the threshold to the cherubim. And from the cherubim, it goes over everybody. And from there, it's gone. Kind of interesting. That's Ezekiel 10 and 11, if you ever want to study that. But I want to show you Ezekiel 48:35. Again, the thought is that God was with the nation of Israel and uniquely. In Exodus 48:35, and it was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be what? The Lord is there. God likes to make his presence known. Because when his presence is known, what's followed or is what is coexistent is his glory. When we study the tabernacle, when God shows up, God's glory shows up. So much so that Moses couldn't even enter. If you look at Zechariah, say Zechariah. Yep, I'll give you a second. Zechariah. Got it, team? 967. Zechariah 2:10 says this, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord." God, making His presence known to His creation. Didn't have to do that. There's some believe that God just created the world and then just took His hands off and just let it go however it would go. That's not Bible. God is very much involved in our lives. I was talking to someone earlier today. It would be something if God in His creation created, we'll say, Hilton Hamlin in Brockport area. It would be amazing. A controlled ecosystem, everyone dependent on one another. Farms, sustainability. We didn't do that. No, he didn't just create a small little area west of Rochester. Not just even Rochester. Not even New York, not even the United States, not the Western Hemisphere. Not even the earth. And as we keep moving further and further away, we realize how large it is. Our little earth spinning around a sun in the midst of the Milky Way galaxy that's spinning around, and that's spinning around and way out where no man can see, it still continues on. And yet somehow, in some way, God has decided that He's going to make His presence known with us. That He's going to live with us and dwell among us. And He's going to be here and in fellowship with us. That He's going to dwell among us. It wasn't just for the nation of Israel now. Come to find out we're maybe, possibly, part Jewish. How much? Like 12%. 12% Jewish. Does that mean I have anything? No. As a child of God, I have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. And that same glory that showed up way back in the Old Testament travels around with me each and every day. That's a blessing. Look with me to John chapter 1. The presence of the Lord. God with us. John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory." See, where God's presence is, what do we see? His glory. "And we beheld His glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Look at verse 11, sad verses. "And He came unto His own, and His own received Him not." The Holy Spirit lives with us permanently. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you." Look at those next two words. "Forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Verse 26, "And the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost," lest there be any confusion, "whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So here's how it goes. God sends His Son, Jesus Christ, changes the world, dies for mankind. And Christ says this, here's what is going to happen. "I'm going to leave, but this is going to work out good for you, because in place of Me, He's going to send forth the Comforter who will be able to inhabit each and every one of you." I'm so thankful for that. That the Holy Spirit lives within us permanently. If you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Comforter has come. Because the Lord is there, we have the power to say no to sin and yes to serving Him. Because that is the will of the Son. And He says, whatsoever I would do, that's what the Comforter or the Holy Ghost will lead you to do. So we think about what Jesus did. Jesus served the Father and said no to sin. And that same power is inside of you and us. Look at John chapter 14 and verse 2. And one day, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is a promise that's going to last for all eternity. Not only will God inhabit us here, but one day we're going to go and fellowship with Him there for all eternity. What a great blessing that is. Look at Psalm chapter 16. Psalm chapter 16. Psalm 16 and verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. In thy presence is fullness of joy. On a regular basis, before church, we pray that God would make His presence known here. That He would move through these pews as the Word of God is opened and He would testify of the things that are said. And you would feel something in your heart that God would lead you in a direction and a guidance to help you, to encourage you for that week. Help you get over something in your life. That the Word of God mingled with the Holy Spirit of God would make His presence known in your life. God dwells among us. Look at this, Hebrews chapter 13. It brings it all the way to this point. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Tonight's message is not flashy. It's not maybe to pull at your heartstrings tonight. Oh, last week we looked at that relationship between the shepherd and the sheep and just the tender care of God, and that just breaks our heart. Melts us, if you will. Tonight it's a simple truth, but a powerful truth, that God's presence is with us. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hey, if you've ever felt alone, those are some comforting words. If you've ever been going through one of those valleys in your life, those words are vital to hold on to. He says this, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. What a comfort. What a help. His presence makes all the difference. Go with me back to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 16. We read this verse already. I'm going to ask this question. How does knowing the Lord is there make a difference in your everyday life? The Lord is there. If that thought was on the forefront of your mind and heart, would that change anything? For the good or for the bad? Exodus 33:16 says, for wherein shall be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight, is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? He says, there's something different about us in that we have the presence of God. Hey, Christian, there's something different about you. You don't have to travel to a city to worship your God. You don't have to take Him out of your pocket or fear of losing Him or having a name change or something of that sort. No. He dwells with you no matter where you go. don't know if you like those crime shows. Ever watch those crime shows? It's usually some wife offing her husband for some, you know, money, insurance. And you're watching that and you're like, is this true? Is this? And all of a sudden they start bringing out the evidence. And at the end of the show, they lead you to believe in a certain way. They present it in such a way like this guy or this girl is 100% guilty. What happens if you were brought up before the nations and the evidence of your life was displayed? Would that be enough to convict you as a Christian? He asked the question, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Why? Because God was with them, causing them to act and live differently. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Right? Our life should ought to portray that God's presence is with us. So I'm going to ask again. Is there evidence of that in your daily life? Every day as you go throughout, are you proving that God is with you? Sometimes we think that no one is watching. Can I encourage you that the world is watching? God is watching. Knowing God is there is a great comfort and encouragement. Those verses in Hebrews chapter 13, very encouraging. Hey, when I'm going through and I feel like I'm all alone, I'm not alone. God promised He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Hey, that's a help. But equally, it's also quite convicting knowing that God is there. What have you brought the Holy Spirit of God through? Let me ask you this. What changes do you need to make tonight? If God is there, which He is, what needs to change in your thoughts, in your words, in your actions, with your friends and acquaintances? How about your view of authority? How about witnessing? If God is really there and He sees it all, shouldn't we testify of Him? Your entertainment, your work quality. Well, I do better than the next guy. Yeah, but we're not comparing ourselves to the next guy. If God is there, how is your responding to criticism or correction going? Your Christian service, time management. How about your future plans? If the presence of the Lord is real, what changes do you need to make in these areas? Turn with me last to Matthew chapter 28. So you fooled us. You closed your Bible. I thought it was done. I zipped it up. It was gone. You're going to have to wait till Wednesday before another verse out of me. All right. Well, listen along. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have ever commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. If God is there, how are we fulfilling this? How are you fulfilling this? Let's all stand tonight. the presence of the Lord. He is omnipresent. He's able to be in your life and my life and your life. But maybe there's an area in your life that you are thinking, I need to make some changes. If he's thinking, or if he can see everything that I think, or every word I say, or everything I do, or he knows all my friends, or my witnessing habits, what I do for entertainment, my work quality, my responding to criticism, my Christian service, my time management, or my future plans. Shouldn't that be adjusted concerning that? We'll not have an invitation tonight, but I do ask that you consider those things. As we go out these doors and we've considered the names of God, we have not exhausted this. We have not fulfilled all of these, but I think we have covered a number of them, and we'll switch topics now. But as you go through life and you prove the Lord and He reveals Himself to you, pay attention to how He's revealing Himself. He's teaching you something about Himself. The provider, the shepherd, that His presence is with you. We'll pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight.